This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we hear Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff review a few of the big news stories around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning and Happy New Year, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken. Happy New Year to you.
We had our holiday hiatus, and so lots of news to talk about. We're going to talk about all the developments in the San Bernardino shooting saga, I guess we could call in just a minute. But first, the Riverside City Attorney, who's been there less than a year, wants the power to prosecute misdemeanors?
Right. I think the rationale is that the district attorney's office is kept quite busy prosecuting felonies, murders, rapes, burglaries, crimes like that. Mm-hmm. And the city attorney, it's not uncommon, city attorneys in other cities do this, can go after quality of life crimes such as prostitution, animal cruelty, graffiti, child abuse, even some domestic violence cases that don't amount to felonies.
And those are misdemeanors.
Those are misdemeanors. They can, some of them can be prosecuted either way, but the ones that the district attorney doesn't have time for that are committed within city limits of Riverside, those are the ones that the new city attorney, Gary Geis, is asking for the authority to prosecute.
Now, am I misunderstood in thinking there are felonies and then there are misdemeanors? Felonies are fairly serious. Misdemeanors may not be,
Well, they can be serious crimes, Ken, but they don't carry such long prison sentences. In fact, a misdemeanor, the most you can do is serve a year in county jail or pay a $1,000 fine. Felonies, of course, can send people to prison for much longer.
Is there something lesser than a misdemeanor?
Well, there are infractions, and city attorneys already prosecute violations of the municipal code for, you know, code enforcement violations.
And those are things you get tickets for.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. All right. Fine. Now, one more time. He wants the ability to prosecute misdemeanors because?
Because he's afraid that there are some issues that are falling through the cracks. He gave me one example. There was a massage parlor that was being investigated for prostitution. Someone was arrested, and that was potentially a misdemeanor prostitution violation. The DA's office handled it as a disturbing the peace violation. If it had resulted in a conviction for prostitution, the city could have shut down the massage parlor as a prostitution front. Mm-hmm. And instead, it resulted in a plea to disturbing the peace, and the city can't go after the massage parlor in that case. Mm. So that's where the concerns of the city may be a little different than the concerns of a prosecutor who's looking at, countywide state crimes.
Okay. Speaking of crimes, let's go from misdemeanors in Riverside County to the tragedy of the multiple murders in San Bernardino. There's been a lot happen since the last time we talked in December.
Sure. Even just this week, the former friend of one of the shooters, the neighbor Enrique Marquez, he was indicted last week by a federal grand jury. He had his first court appearance since that indictment this week, and he pled not guilty to providing the weapons, providing material support to terrorists, and also to having a sham marriage to an immigrant from Russia.
Was it a surprise to anyone that he pleaded not guilty?
I don't think so. He has federal public defenders, and I think that's something that defense attorneys do kind of automatically while they kind of gather the facts and decide how they're going to mount a defense.
Okay. And there are other things that happened related to the shooting and the shooters.
That's right. There was a big private memorial service for the county employees. San Bernardino County has something like 19,000 employees. They were given half of the day off so that they could attend this memorial. It was also attended by the governor and the state attorney general. And Rudy Giuliani, who was mayor of New York City when the 9/11 attack happened, was kind of the keynote speaker, and he really offered some words of encouragement. In addition, the Inland Regional Center buildings reopened for the first time on Monday. Mm-hmm. After being closed since the attack. People went back to work. Also, interestingly, last week, the FBI held a press conference to appeal to the public for help in determining the movements and actions of the two shooters during an 18-minute gap. They've been able to reconstruct where the shooters were for pretty much most of 4 hours between the time of the attack and the time of the shootout in which they died. mostly through witnesses, through surveillance cameras, both on businesses and traffic cameras. They were able to reconstruct where they were, all except for this 18 minutes between about 1 minute to 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 17 minutes after one on that afternoon. And they put out a photo, including the license plate. It was a Utah plate, so it might have drawn a little more attention. It was a black SUV with tinted windows. And so they're hoping that somebody spotted the couple who has not already been interviewed. By the way, the FBI interviewed 550 people, wow, collected more than 500 pieces of evidence, and served 29 search warrants, all in this investigation to piece together what happened and why. And also, Senator Barbara Boxer came to San Bernardino to meet with city and county officials to offer her condolence, express her admiration for the way the community handled the incident, and also to see what she can do about getting federal help for the city and county for the expenses incurred in the event.
Well, we will be talking about this for months, if not years, yet to come. Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.